Live from Radio Row in New Orleans, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Dustin Watkins walking into just absolute foolishness, not in the Finley Soda Studios, but with Adam and I. We got to continue the debate discussion because now it really is going to turn into a topic. Adam is annoyed by the when the Saints come marching in because you hear it all the time in New Orleans. But I think I just decided during the break it is the most recognizable, hummable song that's connected to a city that we have in this country.
No, there's got to be something else. I'm telling you. No.
And Viva Las Vegas, you have to kind of say Viva Las Vegas.
Yeah, you're gonna ignore Welcome to Miami by Will Smith. You're gonna ignore
Hummable.
You're gonna ignore like Frank Sinatra with New York.
Yeah, there's no way Saints Are Come Marching In is in the top 10. Like, if you ask somebody who's not a football fan, like, what song is associated with New Orleans, they're not saying Saints Come Marching In.
Yes, they
there
are.
Actually, I'm going to go Jay-Z and Alicia Keys in New York instead.
Better
representation.
That's the worst humming.
Humming the other one either. I was doing the band version of it.
Well, whatever, you can grunt it. Whatever you're doing.
You can't
do New York, New York. Like, you're right. It is iconic.
Dun, dun.
I can't follow you at all. That's just as,
I'm not
that's
musical.
Horrible.
It's horrible. Terrible.
But you're musical on The Saints Come Marching In.
Because it's the stupid band version of it.
Because it's the most recognizable, hummable city song.
No. Hard no. Hard no.
Okay.
I can't sign off.
We'll put together a list and let's see if we can come up with something next week.
Viva Las Vegas for sure.
I don't think so. I mean, I think it's close.
No, it's not even close.
Justin Watkins.
Everybody said Vegas.
Being wrapped into foolishness on Cofield and Company. You've been here before?
New Orleans?
Yeah.
Yeah. I told you. I went to an Oregon State LSU game when they had Jamarcus Russell as a freshman, and they were ranked number one in the country, and we led the whole game and then missed an extra point. Missed three extra points to lose the game by one.
Ooh.
Yes. To the kicker for Oregon State, Alexi Serna, who went on to win the Lou Groza the next year.
Shocking.
Yeah.
Those things shouldn't happen.
Speaking of football, before we get started.
I like
just
it. Do
give
the segue,
it,
please.
Yes. I have to give a shout-out to Battleborn's own Vance Hoffman, Matt's son, just nice. Declared for Drake University football. Just signed.
Nice.
Off he goes to play tight end.
Oh, really?
6'6", 240.
Okay. Look at Griffin just got all puffed up. Griffin's like, oh, is that right?
Justin, can you hum the Drake fight song?
Eventually can.
No, I've never been to Drake. I've only ever driven through Des Moines. I don't know much about it, but it's a good academic school. NCAA, they won the Pioneer League last 2 years in a row. So, yeah, good
spot. Was Hoffman a football guy? He's a big guy.
No, he was not. No, he's a golfer.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
We actually, I think he believed it, didn't he, in hour one, Cesar Ruiz?
He believed you.
Yeah,
I
said all three of us, John Von Tobel, Adam, and myself, offensive lineman in high school, and I said I played at 5'9", 275. And he was like, center? I'm like,
yeah.
No. I was probably 153 pounds, so.
Yeah, well,
I might be 275 now, but different physique.
But both of Matt's boys were swimmers for a long time, Sandpipers, and Vance, who just switched over to football. He just switched over as a freshman. He was on pace for Olympic level swimming. Tall kid.
Miles Garrett was walking around today. We were within inches of getting him to sit down for like 20 minutes. We just missed him. His story is gigantic. I mean, it's not shocking. Like, I wouldn't want to stay with the Browns any longer either. What about the rumors that the Raiders, because they have a lot of money in free agency, could pair Max Crosby and Miles Garrett? I'll let you go first, Justin. Believable?
Yeah, it's believable. Do I think that that's going to – is that the missing piece? No.
Exactly.
You know, like, why would he – I mean, you don't get to choose necessarily.
That too, yeah.
But why would he want to come to the Raiders? to be in this division with the only team that doesn't have a quarterback. I don't see how he would think coming over here is going to be a better win loss record, at least in the short term, or a better. I'm sure it's a better experience, better to live in Las Vegas than Cleveland. But
Adam, could this be any part of the plans with the Raiders to spend upwards of? Well, I mean, what would that be? $85 million on defensive linemen?
I would imagine the Raiders
with Kuntz around.
Yeah, I'd imagine. Well, I would think that would be part of the.
He goes with the deal.
Lose? No, he's not under contract, so I think
is he unrestricted or outright?
Yeah, I think they would have to let him walk in order. I mean, I don't think they would sign both of them.
Yeah.
I don't think they would trade for Garrett and sign Malcolm Kuntz. So I don't think that would be a package deal. I think that would be kind of quote unquote replacement, even though Kuntz didn't play last year, and obviously it's a massive upgrade. I know that everybody stresses the importance of the offensive and defensive line, but John Spytek's teams in particular have very much emphasize just building from the line out. And would that be, when you include the acquisition of Christian Wilkins in there and spending a first round pick on Tyree Wilson, that is a lot of investment in the defensive line. But man, you could have a strength of the team you could really, really build around. I wouldn't be surprised if it's something that's part of their plan, but I also would be a little bit surprised if that's what Myles Garrett's looking for.
But, that's the thing, is the defensive line wasn't exactly the glaring weakness of this Raiders team. I would even say it was a strength of the team. So, tripling down on the investment of not your weakest grouping just doesn't seem like the right move. I can't imagine that they're thinking of spending their cap space and any sort of draft capital that they may have to do something like that.
Adam, do you think they actually will invest bigger money in some of the offensive line? Is there going to be a philosophy change there? Instead of no insult to the guys they've had and have. They've been trying to build young and a little bit cheaper.
Yeah, they've been trying to build through the draft with a lot of the guys and taking a shot on guys here and there. Last year, obviously, they took the second and third round pick, invested both of those in the offensive line, and those were guys that played extensively and played pretty well and are improving. So that's pretty good. But will they make a big splash on the offensive line? I think it's a very strong possibility. I would probably say you don't make the Myles Garrett move and make a big splash on the offensive line side of the ball. But I wouldn't be surprised if they're using, high draft picks and some of their cap space to try to improve the offensive line, which is already improving but could use, a pretty dramatic step forward.
Justin Watkins in studio. It's Cofield and Company. Adam, Steve in New Orleans. Okay, where are we officially now with this Chief Pete? Because if they win 3 in a row, maybe that's what they go with. I think it's stupid. It's not even worth the time to use that name, but Pat Riley had a trademark on it, so we love talking trademarks with you.
Yeah. I actually liked the Pat trick. I thought that was a good one instead of the hat trick. So they should get on that. But they made a deal. They made a deal with Pat Riley. They're allowed to now use three-peat if they win. I'm sure Riley's getting some compensation for that, but they have signed an intellectual property deal where they get to use it. It's actually fairly common, and we'll use the NFL as an example. Seattle uses the 12th man, which is trademarked by Texas A&M, and they pay a yearly royalty for use of that in their official gear. And actually, it's a pretty low number. I believe it's $100,000 that they pay. Seattle pays every year to Texas A&M. I don't know when that deal's up, or if it was like a 50 or 100 year deal or something. But yeah, it's $100,000
a year. Riles would agree to a lump sum, or you get a split, not a split of all revenue. Like you get money and then you get a small percentage. How do these things work?
Well, at his age, I would imagine he wants a lump sum now. He's not trying to spread it out for the next 20 years. So I think you take the lump sum now, and then they can use it into perpetuity.
I always love the topic of age guessing. Do you have any idea how old Pat Riley is?
I'm going to say 82.
Wow, I was going to go high. I didn't think it was that high. I was going to go 79, which I thought was high. Adam, you want in?
I was going to say 84.
He's 79.
Good guess.
Nailed it. Right before it came, I swear.
Yeah.
I swear, right before it came up. So you don't think spreading it over 20 years? Okay. All right.
Well, I mean,
that's kind of negative. I mean, he could get to 100.
Yeah, he might get to 100, but at the same time, it's not like he needs the money. He's, you know, on his 99th year, you know, he's already a millionaire. Just give him the money now. He can invest it and put it wherever he wants. And I can't imagine it's a huge sum of money. I just really don't think it's going to be that big of a dollar. Unlike Seattle, which uses the 12th man on official gear and flags and make reference to it in every single game for the past 30 years.
Oh, isn't it great? Oh, it's great.
Yeah.
Oh, I love Seattle's reference it all the time. It's great. Doesn't get annoying at all. No, it's all good. All right, so this show will get crass at times. I don't know what's happened to Griffin. Maybe it's rubbed off on him. How about the header on this one? The horny VP of Fox Sports has finally been shamed out the door. Chuck Dixon, who we kind of first heard his name with Joy Taylor. Now we've got more lawsuits. So he's on admin leave. So what's happening here?
Well, yeah. I mean, after the bombshell that came out, you knew that anybody who sort of had the goods on them was going to go ahead and bring their civil suit too. There is strength. We've talked about this before. There's strength in numbers on these kinds of things. All sort of discovery that one suit can be used by the other ones. And so they're going to get together, whoever the attorneys are. It doesn't have to be the same attorneys, and it's not in this instance. All civil suits are going to start coming down, and they're going to do discovery. They're going to learn from each other. They're going to build a collective case. And when you do that, it really strengthens your evidence because normally the rule is when you are bringing a claim against somebody, you can't use their prior bad acts as evidence that they committed the bad act you're accusing them of. However, there's an exception to that rule for modus operandi, like a pattern of behavior that somebody has exhibited, and this is sort of what they do. We talked about this in regards to Deshaun Watson. You know, the allegation was very similar in each instance. Book a massage, do it through social media, bring his own little small towel, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so, you know, we'll see how all these lawsuits come out, but I imagine they're all going to try to fit into an allegation of a pattern of behavior so that they can use each other's incidences as proof that that incident happened and that their person is telling the truth. And the pattern of behavior is also important to show that the higher-ups at Fox knew or should have known. It had been going on for some period of time, and they sort of looked the other way. That's who you really want to get on the hook for the damages that have been caused.
I'm going to start on this one, but we only got the 30 seconds. I did not send you the details on Justin Tucker. There are, I think, 8 allegations. When I read the allegations, I was like, that's not – he came out and said unequivocally, absolutely not the truth. And then you read some of the details, and you're like – this doesn't sound good for this guy at all. It sounded like a swanky spa, barber shop. The stories that are being told don't sound good for him.
Talk about tarnishing a legacy, you know. I never thought he was always the best kicker of all time, but that's how they introduce him every time he gets out onto the field. But now, I mean, I think there's 8 out there, and they're all pretty similar, same sort of deal.
I can't remember all the Watson details. This pending investigation, does Tucker go on exempt list or whatever Goodell can do? He's sidelined?
That's what happened with Watson, yes.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live from Radio Row in New Orleans on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Wow, good thing. Wait a second. What did I just say? I was just going to say, Justin, good thing on the way back, Adam Hill was sitting here with his headphones off as the music starts. You love the song. You're head bobbing to
pretending.
It.
I'm trying to get in the spirit. See what you guys like about this nonsense.
That was involuntary. God, you're such a faker. It really is ridiculous.
Is that what you're supposed to do?
You know what you're supposed to do. One last thing on Justin Tucker, who's been accused by at least eight different masseuses of what's the official term? It's not harassment. It was
sexual assault.
Okay. Well, he's not being charged criminally, right?
Not yet.
If they kept evidence, sort of like a Lewinsky dress, and I'm not trying to be a smartass, if they kept sheets, like that spells a lot of trouble for him, right?
Well, they don't have to have hard evidence. I mean, their testimony itself is evidence. So Okay. Could he be criminally charged based on he said, she said? Yeah, they could. Now, how do they go about doing that? They want to corroborate their story through other methods. If you don't have the physical evidence, it's like, do they have texts? Can they prove that they were there at that time? And if they get enough consistencies in the story that are provable, maybe they go ahead and press charges and see where it goes. But just because they filed a civil suit without criminal charges does not, number one, mean that there's anything that is unaffected in the civil suit. And number two, it doesn't prevent them from bringing criminal charges later, so long as or within the statute of limitations. And, you know, a lot of states have gotten rid of statute of limitations for sexual assault, but let's be clear on, you know, not all, you know, quote unquote, air quote, sexual assaults are the same according to definitions in statute. So in Nevada, there is no statute of limitations for sexual assault, but sexual assault in Nevada is defined as penetration. So it is the equivalent of rape.
Justin Watkins, 766-1400, call from anywhere in the state of Nevada number. We're on in northern Nevada, Reno. You got to dial 775. I'm going to lighten it up for a second here. Maybe I'm overreacting to this. I'm gonna put it in the terms of a job interview. You have someone come in, job interview, and right off the gates, you're like, "Do you have a charger? My phone's dying." I think I'm out. As an employer, I think I'm out. We had two media people come up earlier, and we have chargers and the cables, and they were like, "Man, we really need it." You know what? They didn't even say it like that. That was the creepiest part. They're like, "Yeah, we need to charge our phones. Mine's down to 1%. His is 4%. And I'm like, I would never do business with you. That is like the height of disorganization. Or am I crazy? Because we have this discussion. I have another friend who's like, if he goes below 50%, he is like mentally done. He's freaking out if his phone's not charged. 1%? 4%? No battery on them.
I burn my phone down. My wife is the freak out at, 60%. I'm like, I'll start freaking out at about, I don't know. Actually, I don't freak out at all. You know, the other day I forgot my phone and, I just kind of went about my day and my wife ran down to the office and is like, he left his phone. And I was like, it was going to be fine.
Your employer walks in, apparently if they just get you just give him a fist bump, you're like, good.
No.
I like your confidence that you don't need a phone.
No, I don't like it because they're asking for a charger. I'm like, let your phone die. You better have a good reason.
Oh, wow.
You need to charge it up right in the middle of our interview? No.
Adam is, I don't think you're a phone charge issue, but I've never seen someone who has more trouble charging their laptop. And we're talking like going on 15 years. You never have a working charger. You have little runs.
Completely untrue. There was one.
It's completely untrue.
There was one run with one of my computers that the charger would not fit, but it was going on for like a couple months. And this has been like 5 years.
I swear to God, you have another one that you'd have to like lean against something, put a book.
That was stretch that's
it.
The time we're talking about. This was like five years ago.
I still remember it because it wasn't 2 months.
It was four months.
Yeah, like you've been good for 2 months.
Well, what I decided to do after that. Was, and we've talked about this, I decided to switch to Chromebooks.
I hate Chromebooks.
Which every time there's an issue, I just buy a new one. And that's why. Because of that one computer that drove me nuts for so long because the charging port was so bad. And I said, this is ridiculous. You pay all this money, there's a bad charging port. They're like, well, you got to buy a new one. Like, no, I'm not going to do that. So I started buying replaceable computers at that point, which again was like 5 years ago.
Okay. Again, you're an employer and someone has issues with their computer. So I'm out.
Yeah, if somebody comes in with a Chromebook, I'm like, oh, you better have a good explanation.
Oh, Chromebooks
for
are fantastic.
So how many? What's your average life of a Chromebook before you toss it and get another?
About a year.
Yeah.
About a year. You have to see the condition of his Chromebooks. Like, they look like they've been dragged through the street of New Orleans after the horses
again,
we were talking about the other day.
Again, why I buy Chromebooks? Like, I willingly, I'm just like, whatever. Destroy it. Like, it's fine. I'm not worried about it at all.
They don't even they have Chromebooks in school, but they stop them at fifth grade, like when kids really need
exactly.
to like do something. They don't give them Chromebooks anymore.
You have to actually get a real computer.
Yeah,
people like when you're around like a set in your like where we are here at Radio Row, or like happens in the press box a lot, like at a Raiders game, and somebody like puts their drink down next to your computer, and you're like, oh, no, don't spill it. I'm like, I really don't care. Go ahead and spill it. It's fine.
I'm
buying a new one soon.
Okay, another New Orleans topic, and this is a serious legal topic. The only thing I've been disappointed with here, because the security is like unlike I've ever seen here. That's great. They actually have bright lights.
Oh, boy.
I'll get the fireball. Do a fireball shot. No? Oh, Malibu? Okay, we'll get you Malibu tomorrow. See you, buddy. Sorry, that was a guy I yelled at like 45 minutes ago to stop filming me.
Yes.
It's just like what people do. So you just, just try to set him up. Try to get in a fight. You know me. I start troubles. So the only disappointing thing, Justin, is, and every time I've been here, when the jackasses, the donkeys who pull the carriages down on one of the streets for tours, they get a bag on their rear end. So there's pooping in a bag. The like super powerful police, LEO horses, they just let them dump right in the middle of Bourbon Street. I'm like, that's not a good look for your city.
Talk to the people in New York. Like, you don't even put a bag on the carriages, dude. They're dumping everywhere.
That's my
Central,
point.
Central Park's a mess.
Can you let's try to investigate our like horses? Like, you can't put them on. Is that what it is? Because they'll kick you right in the face. Like, they don't want their derrieres touched. I just think it's a bad look for a city that you want to show your best, and there's just horse poop on the streets. And then Adam has spent the last two nights on a balcony yelling at people like, no,
so fun. We're trying to yell.
It's a horrible fate.
We're trying to yell from the balcony to get them to look up so they don't look down. And then they end up stepping in it. And then we chastise them for stepping in it.
Oh,
it's
I wasn't
the
no,
most
no.
fun game.
I was warning them.
I love it. I don't know that I'd participate in the game, but I'd watch.
Such a fun. This is why New Orleans is so great. That's our activity.
Is there any responsibility for Public Works to keep the streets clean so I don't ruin my sneakers? I don't slip and fall. Nothing.
No.
This is a good one.
I mean,
yeah, you thought about it. This is a good one. We got a suit.
I mean,
class action.
I'm just thinking about like mounds of poop. Right at some level, it becomes unsafe. But
it's gross.
Dude, it's
gross.
It was mounds. There was a line. There was like a 50-foot line of like five different poops, and then there was a mountain of it at one intersection, and it was hidden a little bit.
Yeah. I would like to be on street level with the camera, filming as you guys get them distracted and they step in the poop.
That's good.
No. I wasn't doing it on purpose, I swear. Okay, I'm going to transition to something really weird. So
now something weird?
Right. Coming up, we're going to have a conversation about gambling on elections, right? And I'll tease ahead, our buddy Raphael is going to talk about he wants to, and he makes odds offshore, right? So none of this is legal yet. But he would like to see not only presidential elections, but it to go down to as far down as like mayoral. Limits won't be high. My take on that is I think if there's a little bit of gaming interest in local elections, maybe more people will vote. Is that way flawed? Like, mayoral elections aren't, I know here it's going to be really intense.
Yeah, So I don't like it, I
would have bet on you.
I know. I like what you're saying. I like your angle on it. It increased interest, and I guess the counter argument would be we don't want people just voting to support their betting habit, right? To go with
it's something.
But the flip side is there's a lot of people filling in the bubble with no knowledge of the candidate or anything like that. I don't know. There's something about it that feels wrong.
could also be,
you know, because then we got now polling is a whole different animal, and they're trying to affect betting lines, and then when the betting lines are a certain way, you know, and you know you can get you're going to lie to the pollster and then vote the other way. It just seems like we got enough problems with our, you know, our government. I don't think we need to create another one.
There's also cities small enough, Justin, that you could end up seeing like a GameStop type situation a bunch of people just get together and say, hey, let's all bet the underdog or like the biggest long shot on the board. Let's all get together, all bet on him, and then all vote on him.
Right. Or, you know, let's all, you know, especially in a place like Nevada where we all get pollsters. I mean, let's remember, you know, some of these assembly and Senate races are decided by fewer than 100 votes. So it does matter, you know, where you all just get on together and say, let's tell the pollster we're not voting for this one so we get a better odd, and then let's go vote for him. You get a big group together like that, and now you win more money by affecting the polls.
Every Wednesday, our buddy Justin Watkins joins us. He's our attorney. The firm will rep us when we need it because we trust him. 766-1400. The anywhere.
There's a bird. There's a bird loose right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there is.
We'll take a break. We'll get the bird update just for you, Justin.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live from Radio Row in New Orleans on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Justin Watkins in studio in our affiliate Toyota studios. 766-1400 is a call from anywhere in the state of Nevada. I was trying to do like a really good testimonial because we do use battle-borne injury lawyers, and then I made a comment about a bird. The bird's gone. That was a non-story. The bird's gone.
It's still here somewhere.
So we often start bickering, Justin. You know, you get in the mix, but it comes and goes, and we're done. When are Teresa Gould and Gloria Navarro going to stop?
Oh God, I hate that I am the sucker for this stuff on social media because there's all these new accounts out there that are just and like podcasts, and they do these videos, and like they have no idea what they're talking about. Any of them, they're all just speculating. I from that perspective, I think the Mountain West and the Pac-12 have done a good job of whatever's going on, keeping it pretty close to the vest until there's actual news to report. But there is something, some rumor, some speculation out there freaking every day. I do think that the powers that be in those respective groupings are using the media when they think it's helpful. Like, I think we saw a report out there yesterday that ESPN, Fox, and CBS are still interested in the new Pac-12 media deal. And then the counterpoint is Mountain West, you know, hacks come out there and say, oh, yeah, but it's only worth $7 or $8 million. It's not real. You know, the media is being used, and I'm the reason. I'm the sucker that reads it all and then reads all the comments because I'm so thirsty for some new information on this to see who the new pack's going to be. You know, like I have in my mind a conference that I think competes with the ACC if they can put it together. If they can pull UNLV, get Memphis, Tulane, USF, probably ECU or Texas San Antonio, and then add UConn for basketball, and maybe give them football so you get UConn, and then all of a sudden you've got a premier basketball league and a pretty dang competitive football league, and I'm just waiting for those dominoes to fall, and they're just not. They're just not falling. And the best information we have is, you know, probably here in the first week or two of March. And my guess is it'll just be Texas State. But I don't know.
It was kind of interesting this week to see so many lists of school revenue, athletic department revenue.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually surprised that UConn does that well because of basketball. Like, they were way up there.
Yeah. Yeah, isn't it? I was surprised by that as well. And I do think, I hope that is a major component in the assessment of schools for any Pac-12 expansion, is not just past history of performance, but investment and revenue generated by football and then basketball too. Because clearly by taking Gonzaga, you've opened the door to taking basketball-only member or basketball and other sports. Here's the reality. Pac-12 needs some baseball too. You know, Oregon State needs a good conference. Washington State hasn't been too relevant lately, but in the past they've had a good baseball program. So you got to have the other sports too. But yeah, UConn's revenue was really surprising. You know, Memphis spending was more than I thought. It's quite a bit between basketball and football. So they do a good job there, and I hope somehow they can make this work out.
How's the reaction been for the column that's now a few days old? You still getting nasty grams at him?
Why are people so mad?
Oh God, that's all it is.
I know.
It's just hate. It's just hate both ways.
I sent I don't know who it was, one of the content creators. I'm like, just stop. It was just like a Michael Jordan gif. Like, just stop. I can't do it. I can't do it every day, but apparently there's an audience.
Oh, my gosh. I watched this stupid, and I'm not going to mention who, stupid, like, YouTube live on what was going to happen with all of this, and all of it centered around Memphis and Tulane going to the ACC, and then the very next day, the ACC gets locked up, and basically everything's worked out with the ESPN deal. And it was like, oh, I just wasted an hour of my time listening to these guys.
Justin, thanks for coming in the studio. We appreciate your flexibility, especially when we're on the road. 766-1400, battle-worn injury alert. Justin rules.
Have fun, guys.
It's Cofield & Company's Eye on Sports Gambling, presented by Oasis Bar & Grill, only on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
I'm Sports Gambling today. Yep, brought to you by Oasis Bar and Grill, JBT Cofield, Adam Hill, and Rafael Esparza, who is a familiar face to us because he worked in Vegas for a long time. We're going to talk about that. But he is now on the rogue. He does whatever he wants, which we need on the show because we need an odds maker who's going to cover a lot of the other stuff. Adam will be driven nuts by this, but I have been looking for referee odds because I want to make clown bets on this Super Bowl. And this is kind of your area, like anything or a lot of stuff that traditional books won't book. You're like, let me come up with an idea.
Yeah, I mean, the referee prop bets came out of left field. Everyone wants to make fun of the Chiefs, to get all the calls. But born and raised in Chicago, season ticket holder for the Bulls. I've seen Jordan play a gazillion times. He got all the calls because he was Michael Jordan. That's why the Kansas City Chiefs get all the calls, because Patrick Mahomes going for a three-peat. But this is the most I've had requests for referee odds. So this one was kind of interesting to try to find the absurd one. I mean, how can you get plus money? I was going back and forth to the other odds makers I was talking to. We're giving plus money for the Kansas City Chiefs to be the first, or the Eagles to be passing interference or a late hit on a quarterback. How could you do that? If Patrick Mahomes gets knocked down, he's going to get a penalty on that. You cannot knock him down. I can't believe that's plus money.
I actually have been trying to get a prop bet, you know, booked on the board in Vegas.
Oh, here we go. Good luck with that.
An odds maker discussed it publicly yesterday that I had proposed it, and he was thinking about putting it up, but it didn't make it. But I do think, will there be a team touchdown awarded? Would be interesting.
I like that.
It hasn't happened, but no. They did announce that it could potentially happen in the last game.
Yeah.
Obviously, I don't think it's going to happen. It would be a massive long shot.
Let's play minus 10,000. I would probably off the top of my head.
But I do think it's an intriguing one because now it's been brought into the lexicon. People didn't even know that could happen.
I will have that up on a couple of sites this afternoon.
Nice.
Love it. I will have that up.
That's awesome.
So I have two more hits in the next half hour, 45 minutes.
There we go.
Good.
You know what? And I will credit you. If someone asks me, I'm going to credit you on this.
Congratulations, Adam.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, John has some prop bets that have been posted in books and that they still have on the record now. So I needed to kind of get into that. He can't have that on me. I need to jump in there.
I don't understand how some of these books, like especially here in Vegas. I mean, I'm good. My best friend Lamar Mitchell over at BetMGM, Adam Poland, that was over at Caesars, Rich Bachelary, are good friends with. Like, why can't we have a prop bet in Vegas right now? What monumental site will be shown first? Bourbon Street, Preservation Hall, or the St. Louis Cathedral? Why can't we bet on that there? I don't understand why the gaming control board will say no on that. It's not scripted. It's not. It's the first camera shot. It's not like we're going to put a $50 max bet on it.
So I guess I'll bring this up, but we talk about this all the time. It is a very scientific way to do this. Like, there is tough language that has to be in these prop bets the way they're worded. And I talk about this all the time, that some people get a little sloppy and then they leave all these openings for like, oh, what about this? What about this? What about this? Like, that is a challenge in doing this, right?
It is, but I think the biggest challenge, and I've talked to the Gaming Control Board many times, especially after the election, I think the biggest problem is in Vegas, you put, like I say, a max bet on a prop bet, $1,000. And we have a guy playing Baccarat that just lost $1 million. And now he's going to go to the sportsbook and say, hey, can I get this prop bet? I want it for $10,000. Well, sportsbooks, no, sorry, the max bet is only $1,000. I can guarantee you 10 minutes later, that guy's going to get a phone call from the president of the hotel saying, give this guy whatever he wants on a prop bet. And it just can't work that way. That's why I tell these books, you have to have set limits. I don't care who wants to bet it. A limit is a limit. I don't care how much you lost at the poker table.
Do you think that with the way sports betting has gone, because one of the things that we had talked about, the second the Super Bowl was set, there were so many books that had their props up right away.
Yes.
Right, what you're talking about. The basic ones, passing yards, all those sort of things. But do you think that the novelty with this is worn off, so maybe places like Nevada would start to bend a little bit and offer those to get the novelty back with some of these sports props?
I think they are going to bend. The talks I've had with the election and the talks of other stuff, especially say the Grammy Awards and Oscars and stuff like that, which I've always said, have a big Oscar party in a sportsbook. There's nothing going on Sunday night in sportsbook. Have an Oscar party. Men have to wear tux. Girls have to go gowns. Food and beverage would clean up, and max bets for like $20 on Oscar. You can bet on the Oscars. I mean, this food and beverage would clean up on that one, but nope.
Can you imagine like the big sportsbooks on election night? If you had odds up and you have like your Fox or whatever on the main screen with the sound on and you have people in there watching the votes come in, it'd be crazy.
Okay, well, let's first get into why don't we have them? What is supposedly the reason we can't book elections?
People think it's going to be cahoots, like if a major political advocate's going to bet on his side on it. I think that's what they're more scared of. Let's say if someone big in the Red Party was going to pound the red candidate on that one, and now it's coercion, and now it's, but again, it all becomes on limits. And so if you know, let's say the Oscar winner or the election winner, and you're putting $100 on it, ooh, you just won $100. Congratulations.
But here's the thing, it's happening already. So why couldn't a foreign bettor have an influence on a U.S. market like elections? So you were telling me like some of the biggest, what was some of the biggest countries in terms of where the money was coming from
this
in this last, in the presidential election were from where?
Uruguay and Ireland this year.
I know there's a big election syndicate in Uruguay.
Irish fix.
Yeah, Irish had to fix. But you know what? Both of them were on opposite sides. So normally,
oh, really?
The 2 years ago was all on the red side, all on the red side. And then Biden got the win, and everyone's like, "Oh!" And I'm like, "Well, how is the fix in if they were all betting on the red side? How's the, so?" It just blows me.
I mean, would you be against it? By the way, Rafael Esparza is with us, odds maker. We'll go with my bookie.
Yeah, right? I mean, okay. I do. Yeah. I used to be their head odds maker during the pandemic.
But he provides for a lot of offshore books. Would you be against the elections?
No, elections. I'm definitely not
for
against it.
For Nevada. If we were the first ones, and we should be the first ones.
Yeah, I think it would be great. I think on that kind of scale, I do think part of it is the stigma of, hey, this is like a sacred thing. Like, they don't want the money flowing in on that. I think that's stupid. That's fine. And, you know, to the point of especially if the limits aren't that high, like, could somebody, and you said bet on your side, could you have like really, really damning info coming out? And then, hey, we know this video is about to drop. That's going to be very problematic. Let's hedge ourselves by betting the other side. I mean, I guess so, but I don't think that risk is as high as anybody would matter in the end.
No, when I first started doing WWE odds in 2003, officially doing the reason why I wanted to do it, and my bookie was the one I said, I'm like, if you have $50 max bets, you know where this money's coming from. So if you want $50 on the Undertaker, you know this guy lives in Boston. Hey, send him an email afterward. Congratulations, you won $50 on the Undertaker. We still have Boston Bruin bets to win the Stanley Cup, Celtics. They did a survey. 32% of that money that won that $50 on a wrestling bet, they rebet on the future. Mm-hmm. So most of the stuff that I tell these companies or other books, we're doing it for customer service. We're not doing it, hey, tell this guy he can bet $50 on an Oscars, and if he wins, hey, you know what? We still have Super Bowl futures for 2026 up. I can guarantee you he'll rebet it.
So should the goal for the United, like regulated gambling in the United States, should the goal be to get most of that handle that's bet offshore into our regulated market? Because the reason I ask that is if we're going to do legalized sports gambling and offer the election, wouldn't you want your limits to be higher to attract more of that money inside the state board? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that'd be smart, but I'm always customer service first. Sure. Try to get him here. Try to get him for the state in your establishment. Try to get him to stay at BetMGM's app. Who cares? I mean, yeah, you got him here for the election, but why would you want him to go somewhere else? Get him to stay there. But the election here, you know what? It's football season. Now it's baseball season.
Are you covering? Are you on the beat for WrestleMania?
I'll be doing a little bit of it, yeah.
I'll be there.
How big a betting event? First of all, how big will the event be?
The event would be huge, and the amount of money we took on the Royal Rumble last couple of weeks, was it a week ago? I'm expecting probably triple the numbers.
So how big is that in relation to regular sports?
I would probably put it up there to like an NBA Finals.
Mm-hmm. What?
Yeah.
Wow.
Because you figure the NBA Finals are so dull. And I mean, it's the start of the summer. No one's really betting any because the numbers are flat. And stuff like that. And seen on Netflix. I mean, yeah. ABC. Netflix is so much bigger than I would think now. That now
like an
these
NBA
days.
Finals game or the entirety of the series?
Oh, no, NBA game.
Okay, okay.
Oh, no, yeah. I'm sorry.
Still NBA pretty big.
Game. Still, no, it's still pretty big. I'm just curious.
On scripted that stuff with wrestling. Yeah. Although I saw a lot of people claim Royal Rumble was good to bet because it
60 to 1 won.
It really?
With Jey Uso,
it doesn't feel as scripted.
You know what? I work with Jonathan Coachman for works for WWE, yeah. and he still does a lot of stuff. He tells me to confirm that most of those big matches, they don't know the winner until they're actually walking in the ring and the ref would tell them. When they practice, they'll have four or five outcomes, and then they'll tell them what's going on. Like, there's a big story when Brock Lesnar lost, when he beat The Undertaker. There's been rumors back there that Vince McMahon was almost fighting with The Undertaker, saying, no, I don't want you to lose. And Undertaker's one. I want to give up my O. I'm not going to be undefeated. So, and then again, it's only $25 to $50 max bets. If someone knows it, ooh, you beat us for $50, congratulations.
I mean, I don't know much about wrestling, but I was watching the documentary, the McMahon one, and there was the one Royal Rumble that they messed up the end, and yes. They like tied, mm-hmm. and then had to like redo the ending of it. So that had to be a kind of a wild.
Yeah, I didn't have odds on that one, so I'm glad. It's bringing people now. Like, oh, do you do winner? Like, no. Like now, I do like so many. That I'll take Roman Reigns. How many Superman punches would he do in the ring? So like, they don't know. That's not scripted,
right?
They just know the beginning, the middle, and the right. end. So if you have the opportunity to do a Superman punch, he's gonna whisper to the wrestler's ear, "Hey, you know what? I'm gonna so." Not scripted, so I kind of go into that, like, how many times will this happen? Will this happen? Not winner or loser, and that's what people love.
Let's close on this one, because you're a Vegas guy. You're also a New Orleans guy. You just booked a recent event in Vegas. Best female award winner in the AVN.
AVN Point
Awards. I want to do research right now on Anna Claire Clouds, because she was the female performer of the year.
Yes. She was, I think, believe 5-1 or 6-1 to win it. I have to check that.
You got to research.
Yes, I do.
So do you have a crew that researches that area? Or do you do it yourself? Do you put in the hard work?
I do the hard work, and I actually have a picture of my wife taking a picture of me watching something. I'm like,
my job!
I'm like, babe, can you please take a picture? And I'm going to send it to the family, all the family. Like, hey, this is what my husband's doing right now. So she actually took a picture of me watching, I think, was clever title of the, I can't mention any of the titles of the year.
That's why, you know what?
Yeah.
I was like, I'm not doing
but
title.
She thinks it's hilarious. She thinks it's 100% hilarious.
You got a good one. Okay, give me something in the last 30 seconds here. You would love to book moving forward that you think could be a cool event.
Ooh, I think I pretty much – the AVN was probably the –
that's pretty crazy.
The line I did. I mean, I've done the elections. I think now mayor races. More states are asking me for more mayor races. We have a big one here. I was talking to you up here. Big race coming here for the mayor, so I've been doing that. And weather. A lot of people want to bet weather.
You want to bet weather? You should bet weather.
Weather close.
Over under hurricanes and hitting the golf next year is one that people are asking. Off the top of my head, I said probably 9.5, probably low because La Nina is supposed to be predicted this year. So,
wow. If you don't believe in global warming, you probably take a real big hit in that market if you're betting those unders.
True, bet the unders.
Not good.
pretty much. And it's supposed to be changed at the Gulf of Mexico. It's going to be supposed to be Gulf of America. So maybe that will help hurricanes.
Well, they better write the prop properly, because somebody will say, none hit the Gulf of Mexico. It's the Gulf of America.
Way ahead of you on that one. Way ahead of you on the verbiage.
Rafael, we appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Hey, thank you.
There is Rafael Esparza, who's working offshore, odds maker. He's got the life. He worked in Las Vegas for a long time. Now he's an independent odds maker, and he still lives in Vegas part of the year, but he also bought a place right here in New Orleans. That's freaking cool. So it's a good set of years to have the Super Bowl in Vegas back-to-back with New Orleans. Hey, reminder, Treasure Island tomorrow. Check that Friday. Greg Salerno on the scene. Great big game bashes there, including the one at Gillies Las Vegas. Look it up, gilliesLasVegas.com. Parties all over the property for Scintillating Sunday.